طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Now, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek Allah's forgiveness, and we ask for Allah's assistance. And we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides to Islam, no one can lead astray. And whomever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of our true worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon him, his companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path. Allah says in the Quran, "O you who believe, have taqwa towards Allah." You were in the khutbah, you know what taqwa means. Doing what is commanded, staying away from what is prohibited. The way Allah deserves, and do not die except as Muslims. Allah says, "O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, and from him created his partner, and from them dispersed many men and women upon earth. And fear Allah to whom you demand your mutual rights, and reverence the wombs that bore you," meaning keep your kinship ties. Verily Allah ever watches over you. Allah also says, "O you who believe, fear Allah and say a good word. He will help you accomplish good deeds, and He will forgive you your sins. And whomever obeys Allah and His Messenger has attained the greatest success." As to what follows, the most truthful speech is the Quran, the Book of Allah. And the best way of life or guidance is that of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of affairs are the ones that you introduce into the religion. Because every time you introduce something, it's an innovation. And innovation will lead you astray, and when you're astray, you're going to the fire. Now this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to often initiate his khutbas and his talks and his lectures, if you want to call them lectures, with his companions. May Allah be pleased with them. And this is called khutbat al-haja. Many people have abandoned it, but if one of us is going to be involved in da'wah, it's not an obligation that you say it every time, but it is advised that we revive the sunnah by using this particular khutbat al-haja. Now you may hear it so often you become familiar with it, inshallah maybe you'll memorize it. May Allah bless you brothers for coming, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write the reward for you, and make this means for you to make it to paradise. Basically, as we have discussed last week, we had a number of choices regarding the book we will choose. And it seems, as I understand from Brother Abdul Alim, that you chose Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah li Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. It's an excellent book. Al-Aqidah is the creed. Al-Wasitiyah, the reason why it's called Al-Wasitiyah, because of the city called Wasit. We will deal with this later. Li Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the author of this book, is Shaykh al-Islam. He's called Shaykh al-Islam يعني, because of his great position in Islam as far as his knowledge. Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah, may Allah have mercy on him, was born in the year 661 after Hijrah. طيب, يعني, half the time until today, 700 something years ago. And he died in the year 728. He has many books, he has authored many books and put a lot of work, and he refuted many deviant sects in Islam. And he was given the title of Shaykh of Islam because if whatever subject matter he spoke about, he will think that this was his specialty. in any aspect of the deen. Whatever he would speak about, he will amaze the listener or the reader with his knowledge, so you will think that this is the only thing that he really knows. But this is about everything, whether it's the knowledge of hadith and the people in the chain, or the knowledge of tafsir and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the statements of the companions and the righteous predecessors, or fiqh and the understanding and deducing and yani every aspect of the language, everything. You will think, oh, this is a specialty. But he was like this in everything. He was imprisoned and he suffered because the innovators during his time were angry with him, because people got used to following one madhab. And following khalas. If you're a Hanafi, Abu Hanifa, and that's it. If you're Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i, that's it. And so forth. And there was a lot of Sufis during his time. So they insided the Sultan, the president or the person in charge at the time, against him. So he was imprisoned. And when they imprisoned him, he said something amazing. He said, what are my enemies going to do to me? My Jannah, my paradise, is in my chest. My paradise is in my heart. If I die, if I'm in seclusion, if I am imprisoned by myself, then I'm in seclusion with Allah. Meaning, I get to worship Allah freely, without anyone looking, without anyone bothering me. Yani, good. Food comes to me, I eat and drink, and I have time to worship Allah and learn and read and what have you. If they kill me, I'm a shaheed. I'm a martyr. Because a scholar who dies for the sake of propagating Islam is equal to the one who does so on the battlefield. When you are defending the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for your country, not for your mother, not for whatever people do nowadays. It's for the word of Allah. Because power, the truth needs power to support it. If you are one individual with the truth, and there's a lot of bullies around you with falsehood, if you don't have anyone to make you dominant in the class, no one will ever hear you. And Islam is the truth from Allah. And Allah made it legal for us to defend our rights with no transgression, with no extremism, with no killing innocent people, as it is being carried out by people today in the name of Islam. So this is a whole other subject matter. So he said, if they kill me, I'm a shaheed. If they exile me, if they kick me out of the country, I'm on a tour, I'm a tourist. I go on a vacation. So what are my enemies going to do to me? This person was on some other level of Iman, you know, in his knowledge and his faith and his reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that when he went to prison, you know, people, what do the people do in prison? They're playing cards, no salah, playing dice. He turned a whole prison, man, into a university. And everybody in the prison became upright. So much so that when the person's sentence was done and he was allowed to leave the prison, he stayed in prison. Yani, you have 3 years, your 3 years are done. Khalas, salamu alaykum, go free. He stay in prison. Because he had established something, and he would write letters saying, the bounty of Allah on me is immersed. Somebody from prison talking about the bounty of Allah on me I never thought that there will be so much benefit, there will be so much goodness. He's praising Allah while he's in prison. Yani, mashallah, what can we say? So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is not your average Shaykh. And he compiled this book, as we will see, based on a question that was asked. Now, and the person who came was from the city of Wasit. That's why the book is called Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. So you say Kutub Islamiyyah. Okay, that ya and ta added at the end of the word in the Arabic language, it's like the ownership. Islamiyyah, meaning that of Islam. Wasitiyyah, in reference to the city of Wasit.
Where is Wasit?
Wallahi, if it's mentioned, we will find out. I am not sure. But this is called Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah based on the question. And it basically deals with the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there had been much talk about it during that time, where people were negating and rejecting and comparing and Allah to His creation, and giving Allah human characteristics, or going the opposite direction, negating Allah's characteristics altogether, His names and qualities. We will deal with all that inshallah. Now, the actual book is much smaller than this. Actually, it's a tiny little book, which is basically a compilation of verses and narrations. Now we are doing the sharh. The word sharh in Arabic means in English explanation. تشرح شيء, you explain the thing as I'm doing right now. And we have شرح العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, and the one who did the explanation is الشيخ محمد بن صالح بن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى. Everybody should be familiar with the Sheikh and his work. He's the Sheikh who died رحمه الله in 1421, not that long ago. He was known for his piety, for his knowledge, for his uprightness, for his care for the Muslims, for his effort in educating the Muslims, for dedicating his whole life in for knowledge. And when يعني, he had an immense effect, and it's one of the most amazing things. يعني, when we were in the States, we were studying with our Sheikh Abu Mujahid Farid Abdullah. Almost every book that we were studying was the explanation of Ibn Uthaymeen. We did the Arabic grammar, Al-Ajrumiyyah, Sharh bin Uthaymeen. We were dealing the Aqidah Al-Wasitiyyah, Sharh bin Uthaymeen. 40 Nawawi, Sharh bin Uthaymeen. I go in my car, I'm listening to Tafsir of Juz Amma by Sheikh Muhammad bin Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And this was the case with many of us. And the brother is dead, rahimahullah. And the Sheikh is dead. And people are still benefiting and benefiting, even up till today. He has websites, يعني, Allahu Akbar. This is from the ni'mah of Allah upon the Sheikh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise his status in the hereafter. So he did the explanation of the original book of Ibn Taymiyyah, which is a compilation of verses and narrations proving and explaining the aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the creed of Ahl al-Sunnah. Ahl al-Sunnah meaning the people of the Sunnah, wal-Jama'ah and the group. And they were called so because that term was not necessary in the beginning. But when so many different people came with different innovations and sects and they would call themselves names, you had to give yourself a name in order to be identified. Otherwise everybody claims. You have a Shia, he come tell you, I'm a Muslim. And then he go worship Al-Hassan wal-Hussein. And you have Al-Ahmadiyya who believe that whatever, Ghulam Ahmad was a prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you believe so, you have one outside of Islam. He tell you, I'm a Muslim. How are you going to make a distinction now? Everybody says I'm a Muslim. Even sometimes the Christian will tell you I'm a Muslim. So we really have to make a distinction. So these are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Those who did not go left or right. Not too extreme and not too negligent. Travel on the middle path. On the middle path, understanding the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and their righteous predecessors, not anyone else. Good. So this is a slight introduction about the mashayikh involved. And now we'll deal with the muqaddima, which is the introduction of the Shaykh Muhammad bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah himself. He says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, and may the peace and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad and his companions, and his family and his companions, all of them. أما بعد, as to what follows. فإن هذا الكتاب الذي يسمى العقيدة الواسطية ألفه حبر الأمة في زمانه أبو العباس شيخ الإسلام أحمد بن عبد الحليم بن عبد السلام بن تيمية الحراني رحمه الله تعالى المتوفى سنة 728 هجرة بعد الهجرة أو هجريا. He says this book is known as Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, which was authored by the scholar of this ummah during his time, Abu al-Abbas. This is the kunya of Ibn Taymiyyah. His name is Abu al-Abbas Sheikh al-Islam Ahmad bin Abdul Halim bin Abdul Salam bin Taymiyyah. This is his name, who died in the year 728 after Hijrah. ولهذا الرجل من المقامات التي يشكر عليها والتي نرجو من الله له المثوبة عليها في الدفاع عن الحق ومهاجمة أهل الباطل ما يعلمه كل من تتبع كتبه وسيرها. والحقيقة أنه من نعم الله على هذه الأمة, لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى كف به أمورا عظيمة خطيرة على العقيدة الإسلامية. He says, and this man has great status in Islam that he is to be thankful for. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. That he is to be thanked for, and that we hope from Allah to reward him greatly by defending the truth and opposing the people of falsehood. And anyone who has read the books of the Shaykh it'll become extremely clear to him the reality of this issue. He says, and the truth is that he is among the bounties that Allah has bestowed upon this nation, upon the Muslims. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through this man, he defended great aspects of Islam that were going to affect the aqidah, the creed of the Muslim. Yani, and the same thing happened with Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, who at the time when the fitna happened, when they said that the Quran was created, the Sultan during the time wanted everybody to believe that the Quran was created. Now, what do we know about the Quran? The words of Allah. The Quran, the book, now they compiled it into a book. The Quran, which was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was in the form of recitation. It is the words of Allah, the actual words of Allah. Now, Allah is the creator, He's not created. Thus, every quality that belongs to Him is also not created. طيب? Because as-sifa tatba'u al-mawsuf. The principle is that which is being, the description follows the one described. They cannot go against each other. Allah is the creator, so the Quran, Allah's words cannot be created. So when somebody comes saying, oh, you have to say the Quran created, you actually go in a danger zone. So many of the scholars of this time, due to the difficulty, they were threatened to be killed. They played with words, where they made it appear that they agree with the statement, but in reality they didn't. But Imam Ahmad rahimahullah took it upon his shoulders not to do this, because he knows so many people trusted him. So he maintained his position and he was tortured accordingly. So they say that Allah protected this deen during the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. Because had he just also went with the flow, maybe many Muslims in the future would have not understood the reality of the fact that the Quran is the words of Allah and not created. Anyways, this is an example. وهذا الكتاب كتاب مختصر يسمى العقيدة الواسطية ألفه شيخ الإسلام لأنه حضر إليه رجل من قضاة واسط شكى إليه ما كان الناس يعانونه من المذاهب المنحرفة فيما يتعلق بأسماء الله وصفاته فكتب هذه العقيدة التي تعد زبدة أو زبدة لعقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة فيما يتعلق بالأمور التي خاض الناس فيها بالبدع وكثر فيها الكلام والقيل والقال. The Shaykh said رحمه الله, and this book is an abridged small book. As I told you, I have the actual matin. It's very small. Called عقيدة الواسطية, that was authored by Shaykh al-Islam, because a man came to him, a judge came to him from a city called Wasit, where exactly Allah knows best. And he complained to him what the people are suffering from deviance in their methodologies in terms of what is related to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His attributes. So the Shaykh compiled or authored this particular book, العقيدة الواسطية, which is considered to be the essence of the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, dealing with what people have started to dwell into from innovations and too much talking and too much he said and they said, and يعني people started using their intellect in order to understand the revelation. And the principle is, you do not do that. There is no contradiction between intellect and revelation. But some people may be deficient in the mind. So if you're unable to understand, then you don't negate the revelation, saying, oh, this cannot be from Allah. Habibi, if you don't understand, this is an issue in and within you. Somebody else understands. So not every time you measure something, go to the brain, it doesn't make sense, so you say, no, there's no way this could be from the deen. طيب? So, especially if it's been authenticated. We're dealing with things that are authentic. وَقِيلَ وقبل أن نبدأ الكلام على هذه الرسالة العظيمة نحب أن نبين أن جميع رسالات الرسل من أولهم نوح عليه الصلاة والسلام إلى آخره محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كلها تدعو إلى التوحيد. He said, before we initiate the talk about this excellent letter which was compiled by the Shaykh, we would like to clarify that all of the messages of the messengers, beginning from Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam all the way to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, all of them called to what? What did they call to, ya akhwan? Tawheed. Tawheed. What is Tawheed? Mumtaz. قال الله تعالى: وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. سورة الأنبياء verse number 25. أنبياء is the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, interpretation of the meaning, وما أرسلنا من قبلك, and we have not sent before you a messenger except that we reveal to him that there is no God worthy of worship but me, so worship me. This is what every messenger was given as a message, beginning with Nuh, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, David, Solomon, Isaac, Ishmael, and you name it. Same message, La ilaha illallah. وقال تعالى: ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. Allah says in Surah An-Nahl in verse 36, and we have sent forth in every nation a messenger that you shall worship Allah and abandon the طاغوت. The طاغوت is from the word طغيان, and طغيان is مجاوزة الحد, which means transgression. So any one who is a transgressor or the one who accepts to be worshipped is called a taghut. Anything worshipped besides Allah is called a taghut, because worshipping it is a form of transgression.
You mean statues or something?
Anything. Taghut is a statue. Taghut could be the shaitan, is the biggest taghut. Or anyone who accepts to be worshipped. It could be a human being. Fir'aun, he was a taghut. فَكَذَّبَ وَطَغَى. What ayah does it say in Nazi'at? Remember the verse in Nazi'at? هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى إِنَّهُ اِذْهَبْ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. The word طَغُوت comes from the same word طُغْيَان, which is مُجَوَزَةِ الْحَدْ, which is exceeding the limits, transgression. نعم. From طغيان, نعم. The root word may be طغيان. طغى is the verb, is the past tense. You say هو طغى. طيب. وذلك أن الخلق خلق لواحد وهو الله عز وجل, خلق لعبادته لتتعلق قلوبهم به تألها وتعظيما وخوفا ورجاء وتوكلا ورغبة ورهبة حتى ينسلخوا عن كل شيء من الدنيا لا يكون معينا لهم على توحيد الله عز وجل في هذه الأمور, لأنك أنت مخلوق لا بد أن تكون لخالقك قلبا وقالبا في كل شيء. The Shaykh, may Allah be merciful on him, said, and the reason why is because the creation were created for one, and he is Allah, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were created to worship him. What's the evidence for that? What's the evidence that we were created to worship Allah alone? There's a verse in the Quran, clear like the sun, that tells you why you were created. Anyone?
To worship Allah.
Aywa.
And man, humans.
Aywa. What is in Arabic? Yeah, we should memorize it in Arabic, because if you're going to give da'wah, try to have both. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ. Surah Al-Dhariyat. Dhariyat, I believe it's verse 56. الذاريات. الذاريات.
أيوة.
أيوة. الذاريات. I believe it's 56, but I'm going to verify this information for you, so we will not be giving you. Here we go. الذاريات. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدوا. Verse 56. الحمد لله. نعم. Verse 56. الذاريات. الذاريات, yes sir. طيب. So no, memorize this. It's a principle. أصل. يعني the whole life. The reason why we're here right now is because of, subhanAllah, because of this reality. So the Shaykh said, so we were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our hearts become attached to Him. Okay, not in the physical sense. For our hearts to become attached to Him. تألهن. In as an ilah, يعني as the one who is worshipped, وَتَعْظِيمًا, and honoring, magnifying, وَخَوْفًا, and fear, وَرَجَاءً, and hope, وَتَوَكُّلًا, and reliance, relying upon Allah, وَرَغْبَةً, and يعني seeking seeking goodness ورهبة fearing the punishment طيب حتى ينسلقوا عن كل شيء من الدنيا until they abandon everything in this dunya in this world that will not assist them in carrying out this reality anything that opposes the objective of life needs to be put aside because it's going to be harmful because you are created and it is inevitable that you shall be dedicated to your creator inwardly and outwardly in everything ولهذا كانت دعوة الرسل عليهم الصلاة والسلام إلى هذا الأمر الهام العظيم عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له and because of that this was the call and the message of all the prophets may Allah send His peace and blessings upon them to this magnificent great fact or principle which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no partners and it's important to add no partners because some people say I worship Allah and ABCD it doesn't work ولم يكن الرسل الذين أرسلهم الله عز وجل إلى البشر يدعون إلى توحيد الربوبية كدعوتهم إلى توحيد الألوهية we will see why ذلك أن منكري توحيد الربوبية قليلون جدا وحتى الذين ينكرونه هم في قرارة نفوسهم لا يستطيعون أن ينكروه اللهم إلا أن يكونوا قد سلبوا العقول المدركة أدنى إدراك فإنهم قد ينكرون هذا من باب المكابرة The Sheikh said Now, the messengers that were sent before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one whom Allah sent, they were not calling people to the Tawheed of Rububiyyah. Now, who knows what Tawheed of Rububiyyah is? You should have learned this. Yes? Yeah, akhwan. I told you maybe we should have done the other, less advanced books. Because these are things we need to have before we go here. No problem. Yes, sir.
To believe that Allah is the creator, the controller of the affairs of the universe,
exactly.
The provider and all.
Exactly. Barakallah feek. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah comes from the word Rabb. Rabb means the Lord. The Lord means the one who takes care, the caretaker. Thus, He's the creator, He's the owner, He's the one who arranges our affairs. Every aspect of rububiyyah deals with things that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Who is there a creator alongside with Allah? No. Huh. Is there a sustainer besides Allah? No. Who owns everything? Allah. These are all tawheed al-rububiyyah because they deal with the lordship. Okay? Tawheed al-uluhiyyah from the word ilah and the lafdhul jalala Allah is derived from that term. Tayyib. This deals with worship. So there's Tawheed dealing with Allah being the creator, the sustainer, the owner. The Jews and the Christians agree with us on the same Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. If you tell the Christian or the Jew, who created the heavens and the earth? They tell you God. If you tell a statue worshiper, who created the heavens and the earth? They will tell you God or some power. But they admit. When you tell them to invite Allah, worship Allah alone, they say, I can't. I admit that Allah is the Rabb, the Lord. The Christian will tell you, God is the Father. God the Father, according to them, He's the one who provides, sustains now, right now, as we're speaking. They will admit to that. And Allah says in the Quran, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ And the disbelievers of Quraysh were of the same belief system. Allah says in the Quran, and if you were to ask him, interpretation of the meaning, if you were to ask him who created the heavens and the earth, they would tell you Allah. The disbelievers of Quraysh, who had all these statues around the Kaaba, they used to believe that Allah is the creator. They didn't think their statues created these things. But they had an issue in the second part of Tawheed, which is what makes us Muslims. Three kinds of Tawheed. Rububiyyah, we share it with the majority of people on earth. That's what the Shaykh was saying here. He says those who deny it are very little. Very little those who deny, unless somebody, yani the atheist. He said, and even the atheist, deep down inside in his heart, he knows that he's just prideful. He's just arrogant. Otherwise, it's something you cannot deny. As it was said to Abu Hanifa, they say it was Abu Hanifa, may Allah have mercy on him. A bunch of atheists came to him and told him, prove to us, you prove to us that there's a God. I mean, you haven't seen him, you haven't spoken to him, you haven't nothing, touched him, nothing. Prove to us that you have a God. He told them, give me some time. They came back to him. They said, yes. He said, I'm thinking. They said, what are you thinking about? He said, I'm thinking about a ship traveling in the ocean, sailing in the ocean. Then it sets at the shore, okay? And then merchandise starts going out of the ship with no workers, no labor workers. This the merchandise by itself is getting out of the ship. And the ship has no captain, no human beings running the ship. On its own, ship comes, parks, the merchandise gets off the ship, it lands on the thing, and then the ship goes away. They said, you're crazy, man. You're crazy. How are you going to tell us the ship is going to come and they're going to do this and nobody working, no workers? He said, subhanallah. And this whole earth and everything you see and me and you functioning, and you're going to tell me that there's no one who brought it, no one is controlling it? If you can't accept the ship, then how are you accepting all this that you see in Iran? It doesn't make any sense. Yani, the atheist must be really out of his brains. The Shaykh, he said, Allah's really, these people yani, have zero, no, yani, Allah has concealed their hearts completely. Otherwise you cannot deny it. So the messengers were not calling to the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, because almost everybody admits that Allah is the creator. But they were calling Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. If you admit that Allah is your only creator, then do not worship no one with him. That's what the messengers were calling to. That's the real meaning of La ilaha illallah. That is the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. There's no God worthy of worship but Allah. Because if you say it otherwise, everybody claims to be a Muslim. And I've had many different conversations with Christians. They tell me, I believe in God, man. You keep talking to me like you are in one part of the world and I'm on the other side. I believe in God like you believe in God. I worship God. I pray to God. I remember God. What are you going to tell this person? Say, yeah, but you have three of them. You have Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They tell you, no, they're one. They're one. Say, oh, three is one. Then you try to, you know, you give him, you refute him. Say, hold on a second. Let me put one plus one plus one equals
one.
Put one in the math class with you in kindergarten. The teacher will throw you out of the class. Say, go, man. I've been teaching you for 2 years, so you can come tell me 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. Common sense says 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. They will say, no, you don't understand. There's mystery behind it. It's really logical. They're from the same essence, but they're not. And they will try to get philosophical with you. And you know, this doesn't make sense. Tell them there's no way that you're going to go to paradise or hell based on something that doesn't make sense, man. And you want to prove it to me, and it does not make sense. My mind cannot digest it. And if they are equal, then what happened when the Son, the God, died? When he was crucified? When he was in his grave before he got up according to them? Who was controlling the earth? They would tell you the Father. So the Father is better than the Son. They're no longer equal. He said, no, they're equal. Say, but look, you're just going to make statements? Anybody could say anything. Somebody could say the same thing about Satan. Tell you, no, Satan is God. And he would tell you, you don't understand. God, if he wants, he could become Satan. And Satan is really God. If you want to just speak and just be a bunch of nonsense, anybody could speak. You are not making sense, my dear Christian invitee. You're not making any sense to me. And every time I give you something that is logical, you just want to reject it with nothing. You have to convince me. You will not convince yourselves. You will not convince yourself that they're really equal, but they one died, one was in his mother's belly, one used to eat and go to the bathroom. All this is God's, and he's equal to the one who sent him. Then if he's a son, the father must exist before the son. Since when does the son come before the father? Yani, it's nothing, akhi. It's a bunch of philosophies and ideologies of human beings. It can never be God sent. Allah would never send deviance to the people. Allah sends guidance. And that guidance is La ilaha illallah. So we need to understand that La ilaha illallah when we invite the non-Muslims, because we are calling him to worship Allah alone. Because usually they already agree with you that Allah is the only creator. They don't think that the statues or Jesus created any of that stuff. So, Now the Sheikh here breaks it down. وقد قسم العلماء رحمهم الله تعالى التوحيد إلى ثلاثة أقسام. And the scholars have divided Tawheed into three categories. أحدها توحيد الربوبية, which is the one we mentioned. توحيد الربوبية, the oneness of lordship. That's how you write it. The oneness of lordship. وهو إفراد الله سبحانه وتعالى في أمور ثلاثة في الخلق والملك والتدبير. And it is to single out Allah as with three qualities, three main qualities. It's beyond that, but these are the three most recognizable qualities: khalq, creation, Allah being the creator; al-mulk, ownership, dominion, owning, yani being the one who owns everything; and tadbir, arranging the affairs of the creation. Okay?
Tadbir,
arranging the affairs. يعني هلا right now, you got up in the morning, you had your breakfast, your body was moving, you came to work, you did your job. These affairs, these actions of yours throughout the day were arranged by Allah. If Allah willed, you wouldn't do nothing. By the will of Allah, we're doing what we're doing. Who's arranging our affairs? Allah. Otherwise, if Allah willed, nobody could do nothing. You pause. So this is what is intended by tadbir. From sustenance that is given to you, the statements that you say, the knowledge that you gain, the words that you speak, everything has been arranged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is
arranging.
Arranging the affairs. We know you arrange things when you put them in order. نعم يعني, you know what I'm saying. دليل ذلك, and the evidence for that, قوله تعالى. Now there's an evidence. Now this is very important. And sometimes I will elaborate beyond what is in the book for the benefit, so we could benefit from the various aspects, inshallah. So may take us longer to finish the book, but maybe we'll get more benefit as well. Everything, ya akhwan, in Islam is based on dalil. That's the only religion on earth who deals with you like this. Dalil is evidence. Somebody tell you, ya akhi, you know when you hear the adhan, you're supposed to say this dua. You have the ultimate right to say, give me the dalil, give me the evidence. You have to have an evidence. Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Say, Allah says, say, commanding Muhammad ﷺ to tell the people, say, bring your evidence if you are indeed truthful. So whenever I advise you, I must have a dalil, either from the Quran or the Sunnah. Huh? Otherwise you can't tell people to worship Allah, or you cannot make something halal or something haram with no evidence. You have to have evidence. This is why to keep the religion protected. So not every time somebody feels like something, they add it. Like the Christians. Anytime they feel like adding a new holiday, no problem. You want a new holiday? We'll make a new holiday for you. We'll make a candle day, table day, chair day, whatever, mama day, baba day, yalla kullu yiji, ma fi mushkila. Anything you want, they do. One priest, pope, come say, okay, we're going to add this thing, and it becomes a worship. They do things Jesus never did. Yeah, they don't even know what Jesus did to begin with. They do things that they learn from priests, from human beings. Allah did not send any proof, any evidence for that. It's just an innovation of the people. Allah protected this deen that whenever we do an act of worship, there must be a dalil and evidence for it. Now, when we say that Tawheed is three categories, and the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah deals with creation and mulk and tadbir, there must be an evidence. We can't just speak from our own minds. طيب? We understand with the mind what Allah has revealed, but we don't bring a revelation on our own. This is impossible. Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 54, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. أَلَا يعني, verily for Allah is the creation and the command, or the order. Verily for Allah is the creation and the command. So for Allah is the creation, Allah is the creator, and no one shares this quality with Him Azza wa Jal. وَجُدْ دَلَالَ مِنَ الْآيَةِ أنه قدم فيها الخبر على حقه الذي حقه التأخير, والقاعدة البلاغية أن تقديم ما حقه التأخير يفيد الحصر. And the reason why we say this is because that which is supposed to be delayed was put in the beginning. And that means in the language, in the eloquence of the Arabic language, or even in the English, it's called exclusivity. So when you say in Arabic, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, you're actually saying it is only you we worship, and it is only you we seek assistance from. Not the other way around. You don't say, we worship you alone, and we seek your assistance. It is only you we worship. Why? Exclusivity. Meaning we don't worship none but you. This is part of the Arabic language. When that which is supposed to be delayed is put in the beginning, it indicates exclusivity. So if I say, I'm going to drink the water. In English, I'm going to drink the water. I may drink some coffee first. I may drink some juice. But the bottom line is I'm going to drink the water. This is a statement. طيب, there's no really exclusivity. If I said, the water I will drink, and I had coffee and tea here, what do you understand from me? I'm not going to have nothing but the water. Or at least the first thing I will have is the water. The water I will drink, versus I will drink the water. If I say I will drink the water, I may go tick, tick, then the water. If I say the water I will drink, you say, okay, this guy is serious, man. He's going to have the water, nothing else. Even in English, of course in Arabic, I'm just trying to bring the relation and make it easier to understand. But in Arabic, this is very known. So, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Verily to Allah belongs the creation and the command. Rather than saying, what belongs to Allah is the creation and the command. It's the other way around. Or the command and the creation belong to Allah. This is the one way. Verily to Allah belongs the creation and the command. The same way you say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, rather than saying, نَعْبُدُكَ. We worship you, or it's only you that we worship. This means exclusivity. ثم تأمل افتتاح هذه الآية بألا الدالة على التنبيه والتوكيد. Then notice how Allah began this verse with the term ألا, which indicates in the Arabic language to make you aware, and for نون للتوكيد, for affirming and confirming, for emphasis. Okay, this is in, when you say ألا, ألا له الخلق والأمر, it has a special position in the Arabic language. لا لغيره فالخلق هذا هو والأمر هو التدبير. نعم. أما الملك فدليله قوله تعالى ولله ملك السماوات والأرض. Now we dealt with the evidence of why Allah is the only creator. As for the mulk, remember we said there's three things that prove the tawheed of rububiyyah. Al-mulk, ownership. The evidence for that is in Surah Al-Jathiyah and verse number 27. And this verse is found in many different places in the Quran. Surah Al-Jathiyah, verse 27, وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to Allah belongs, or the ownership of the heavens and the earth. No, the Al-Jathiyah. And to Allah belong all that is in the heaven and the earth. So this is the evidence for mulk.
Ownership.
If everything in the heavens and the earth belong to Allah, there is nothing else.
For creator, what is the example? Evidence.
Surah Al-A'raf, verse 54. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Verily to Allah is the creation and command.
Evidence for
mulk. نعم. Evidence for mulk is Surah Al-Jathiyah. يعني to go down on your knees, kneeling on the knees. Verse 27. فأن هذا يدل على انفراده سبحانه وتعالى بالملك وجود دلالة من هذه الآية كما سبق تقديم محق التأخير. Same ruling. إذن فالرب عز وجل منفرد بالخلق والملك والتدبير. So Allah, the Lord عز وجل, is the one singled out in creating, in the mulk, in ownership, and tadbir, arranging the affairs.
Tadbir, you mentioned the same.
He did not mention it, but you could say yudabbiru al-amr. I don't know which verse it is, but I know the verse. I will get it for you inshallah ta'ala next week. Yudabbiru al-amr, yudabbiru al-amr. Yeah, I don't remember where it is. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Fa'an qulta, shall we deal with this or not? We'll deal with this inshallah. Why not? فَأَنْ قُلْتَ كَيْفَ نَجْمَعُ بَيْنَ مَا قَرَّرْتَ وَبَيْنَ إِثْبَاتِ الْخَلْقِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ مثل قوله تعالى فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ ومثل قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في المصورين يقال لهم أحيوا ما خلقتم. ومثل قوله تعالى في الحديث القدسي ومن أظلم ممن ذهب يخلق كخلقي. فكيف تجمع بين قولك أن الله منفرد بالخلق وبين هذه النصوص؟ Now the Shaykh, may Allah mercy on him, had a very nice style in his tafsir, that he would strike what could potentially be said by someone. Although the, يعني, he will say, what if someone said this? He will tell you how to answer already. يعني, he's preparing you for anything. First he explains to you, then he realizes that there might be some misconceptions with some people who may ask you something. So he automatically tells you, if somebody tells you this, then this is how you explain it. To give you fully equipped, يعني, mashallah. So he says, so if you say, or if someone says, how do we bring a relation between the fact that we say that Allah is the only creator, and between the fact that Allah mentioned in verses in the Quran and hadith that there are other creators alongside with Him? We will see what is meant by that. Allah says, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. So blessed is Allah, the best of creators. Now look, now this might be a misconception for someone. Allah said, so blessed be Allah, تبارك الله, the best of creators. They must be, according to this one, glory be, not blessed, I'm sorry, glory be to Allah, the best of creators. According to the verse, there's more than one. We will see how this is understood. And like the statement of the Prophet ﷺ regarding the image, the people who take pictures. Now of course, when we talk about pictures, there's a difference of opinion whether the photography and the camera is included. I'm not going to deal with fiqh right now. But the least we could say, images that are drawn with the hand or carved as a statue, these are certainly under the violation of prohibition. And the Prophet ﷺ said, it will be said to them on the Day of Judgment, أَحْيُ مَا خَلَقْتُمْ, give life to that which you created. So somebody who builds a statue, he is trying to imitate the quality of Allah. Who are you to create or to make the shape of a creation? This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. That's why it's prohibited in Islam. This is how shirk began. But statues, they built statues of righteous people, next thing you know, they're worshipping them. Otherwise there was no shirk in the beginning. So
the statue rumor is
yes, Nuh was sent to them. It started at the end of the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Adam was the first prophet. He wasn't a messenger. And everybody was worshipping Allah. Fine. What happened is a group of righteous men died. The shaitan, may Allah curse him, came to the people who were left behind. Said, look man, these people were very righteous. And it is a waste to let them go. And nothing is established for their remembrance. Why don't you build a statue with their appearance in order for you to use them as means of encouragement? Whenever you feel low and you're not worshipping Allah properly, notice, to worship Allah properly, you look at these statues, you remember these men, so it will encourage you to worship Allah better. So they took the advice of the shaitan and they established these statues. Time passed and generations came, and they did not understand the objective of this statue. So people started dedicating some of their worship to these statues as interceders with Allah. Not to worship them alone, to worship them alongside with Allah. And if you read Surah Nuh, وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ, they said, do not abandon your gods. وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وُدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا. These are the names of these five brothers who died. The disbelievers, when Nuh was sent to them and said, leave alone these statues, worship Allah alone, they said, لَا تَذَرُنَّ أَلِيَتَكُمْ, do not leave your gods alone. Do not leave Waddan, Wadd, his name, سَوَاعًا يَغُوثَ يَعُوقَ وَنَصْرَ, these five gods. SubhanAllah. Shirk began like this. The shaitan, and this is the tricks of the shaitan. He doesn't tell you sometimes automatically, come do the evil. He will slowly but surely pull you in, gradually, until he puts you down in the hole. That's why we have to be careful of the tricks of the shaitan. That's why Allah told us in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He is to you a clear enemy. So the shaitan will not tell you, you're a Muslim, you know zina, adultery, fornication is something that is way out of your mind. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. You wouldn't do it. So the shaitan will not tell you, Allah, go rape a woman in the street. Because this is something a Muslim would never do. يعني he, unless, يعني, astaghfirullah. But يعني, your iman prevents you. But he will tell you, why don't you speak to this woman and give her da'wah? And you start giving her da'wah, and then you start loving one another, then you start sending love letters, then next thing you know, you fall into the same thing that you were not supposed to fall in, but he dragged you in from the little door until he brought you to where he wants. So if we knew the tricks of the shaitan, we'd be able to protect ourselves. And that's why we were, a part of the deen of Islam is to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, I seek refuge in Allah. Because if Allah controls the shaitan, it's not like the shaitan is independent. He has his own establishment, his own property that is independent from Allah. He is under the command of Allah. Allah allowed him to do what he does. When you seek refuge in Allah, you ask Allah to protect you from his creation, the shaitan. So this is important that we know that. So anyways, the hadith, another hadith Qudsi says, Allah says, and who is more oppressing? Who is more oppressive than the one who goes and he tries to create like my creation? So Allah again attributed the term of creating. So how do we bring in a relationship with these texts? One time we say Allah is the only creator, next thing you know we have verses in a hadith that indicate that there are other creators. The Shaykh says, فَالْجَوَابُ أَنْ يُقَالْ إِنَّ الْخَلْقَ هُوَ الْإِيجَادِ وَهَذَا خَاصٌ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَمَّا تَحْوِيلُ الشَّيْءِ مِنْ صُورَةٍ إِلَى أُخْرَى فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِخَلْقٍ حَقِيقَةً وَإِنْ سُمِّيَ خَلْقًا بِاعْتِبَارِ التَّكْوِينِ لَكِنَّهُ فِي الْوَاقِعِ لَيْسَ بِخَلْقٍ تَامٍ فمثلا هذا النجار صنع من الخشب بابا فيقال خلق بابا لكن مادة هذه الصناعة الذي خلقها هو الله عز وجل لا يستطيع الناس كلهم مهما بلغوا في القدرة أن يخلقوا عود أراك أبدا ولا أن يخلقوا ذرة ولا أن يخلقوا ذبابا. He said the answer is creation is to bring something into existence. Creation is to bring something into its existence, and this is specific and only for Allah Azza wa Jal alone. As for transforming something from one matter to another, this is also called linguistically khalq. But it is not in essence. The original creation is from Allah. And the Shaykh mentioned an example. He said, this is not really creating. Although it could be mentioned, it could be, the same term could be used to it because of you putting this thing together. Although it didn't exist before. But it is not in its ultimate sense. For example, if a... what do you call the person who...
Carpenter.
Aywa. He builds a door. You could say he created this door. You see, I created an email account. Huh? I created an email account. You can't create really. But that term is used. The term is used. You create a door, you created a concept, you create something. But the essence, but who made the wood? Allah Azza wa Jal. All you did was get something Allah created and you did something to it, and now it has another reality, another element. But at the end of the day, it may be called creation linguistically. But is it really creating? No. Because if make the wood. If anyone can do this, then there will be an issue. But no one can do this. You understand it? How this is understood? So the Shaykh said, anytime people are using something, they're using material that Allah has already created. All they're doing is transforming it from one phase to another phase. It is linguistically said, khalq, creating. But not in its ultimate sense, which is bringing something into existence from nothing. طيب, from scratch, as they say. This only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even that they do right now from cloning the animals. Tell them, don't clone an animal. Create an animal. Make one and blow a soul into it. Let it move in front of me. They will never be able to do that. But they try to use tricks. And this is all... And Allah says in the Quran... the Shaykh said the people will not even be able to create the siwak, not even a miswak, not even a stick, not even a grain, not even an ant, and not even a fly. And the evidence for that, Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. O mankind, an example has been struck, so listen to it. This is Allah speaking to His creation. إن الذين تدعون من دون الله لن يخلقوا ذبابا ولو اجتمعوا له. Those who you are calling on to besides Allah will not create a fly even if they were all to come together, even they were all to come together in assistance one another to create it. وَإِنْ يَسْلُبُهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْهُ. Even if the fly was to take something from them, they cannot even retrieve it. If you're eating some food, and the fly came and had a lick of your fool in Tamiz, some of the fool, and went, for the sake of Allah, can you get it back? خلاص, it took it, digested it, it changed, now it's part of its blood. You're going to squish the fly, طيب, get the Tamiz back, get the fool back, no more. This is how helpless we are. And this is us human beings who we can function. Then what about a statue that you had to create, you had to carve? You need to wash him, shower him, wipe him, keep him fresh. Yani, if you have the ability to do something, you can do a fly. So what about these statues of the people who are worshiping besides Allah? Yani, it's even more difficult for them to do anything like that. ضعف الطالب والمطلوب. Allahu Akbar. Oh, subhanallah. Let me see here. 7:09. Okay, we will be. We have a couple of minutes for Isha, for the Adhan. So we will stop, inshallah. جزاكم الله خيرا والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We will continue بإذن الله عز وجل next week. Hopefully we'll try to bring more people to attend for the benefit to maximize. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
Which page we finish this
month? 5. No, I'm don't worry, inshallah. It's when you yeah.
Aqidah and faith.
Yes.
Islamic stages of Aqidah and faith.
Yes. I have this book.
You have it?
It's excellent, mashallah. It's different than this one.
It's English?
It's in English, yes. It's different than this one. This one deals with the Aqidah, of course, initially. But this is a special aspect of the Aqidah, which is the names and attributes of Allah. This one is more general for the new Muslim, for somebody who's going. This is dealing with something that is very much specific, and it's something that the Muslims have differed about tremendously. So yani, there's no relation between these two books, although this book is an excellent book in and within itself.
There's no English translation of
the I have not seen one. I have not seen one. There's one for the Arba'in. I was about to say there is, but I remember this is the other book that we're doing, the 40 Nawawi. This one, I have not seen one. I'm sure that there is, but most of these usually you find them in America or in Britain. Yani, the students of knowledge there, they exert themselves in publishing these books, because the Arabic is an issue. So here, yani, we might have a problem in the resource to actually try to find the book in the English language or any other language, unless it became yani, be very famous. And it's something that everybody refers to. But these are specific subject matters. You may not find the English here, but it's probably available somewhere overseas. But inshallah, when we finish, you'll have one yourself. Sure. If you write down all the notes, then you'll have your own English version of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah.
Is
Tawheed
as only 3 categories or more than that?
Tawheed?
Uluhiyya,
Uluhiyya, Wal-Asma' wa-Sifat. Na'am.